All right, we're continuing our study in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter number 2. And last week we started the grandeur of exaltation, and we looked at an honorary title, and today we'll go for part B, a humble tribute in just a moment, Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to be in some other passages of Scripture in the New and in the Old, so I'm going to take my time to give you an opportunity to turn there instead of just reading them. I've got the cheat sheet up here, so I don't have to turn to it. I've got it in my notes, so I'll pause and give you a few moments to turn to some of those places as we get there in Ezekiel and Ecclesiastes, as well as a couple other places in the New Testament. But let's go ahead and have a Lord's Prayer, have a word of prayer. It's exciting. I mean, it's beautiful outside. And let's make sure that we appreciate the good weather, the sunshine outside, and make sure we have also sunshine in our heart today as we worship and we fellowship together today in God's house. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. And again, thank you for your goodness, your blessings, your joy of service, your joy of fellowship. Father, we thank you for those that are here this morning. And I know there's some that are here that are uncomfortable. And Lord, there's some that are in pain. Lord, and I just pray that you bless them, encourage them. And Lord, bless their faithfulness. And Lord, and help some of that discomfort, Lord, subside while they're here worshiping and having a time of fellowship with their church family. Lord, be with those that are running a little late this morning and those that come in the next hour, that you would give them safety and protection as they come in. And Father, we pray that you would bless the reading of your word this morning here in Sunday school as well as the next hour. And Father, may the main theme and concern on our heart that you are uplifted and that you are glorified. And we'll be careful to give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. For we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Verse number 10 there, as we look at a humble tribute, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Folks, I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to a time, especially in the world that we live in today. And, you know, we need to understand that we all have an appointment with God, and that appointment cannot be canceled. It cannot be rescheduled, and it cannot be missed. I mean, we may reschedule our doctor's appointments, and we may rearrange our vacation. We may cancel certain things, but this is one appointment that we cannot. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, as it warns us, and is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Romans chapter 14, I'll give you the opportunity to turn there. Romans chapter 14, we'll look at verse 10, 11, and 12, and then we'll go over to Revelations chapter 20 in support of this aspect. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 14, beginning in verse 10, it tells us the saved will meet him in the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. That's one thing that we don't have to be taught in human nature when you're called out. If you're around someone else or you're a kid and have a sibling, automatically say, well, and you want to name your sister, your brother, because they were involved too. Or maybe they did something much more worse. But then again, thy brother, and then it closes with, so then shall all of us give an account of himself to God. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and the first part of verse 12. Revelation 20, the lost will meet the Lord at the great white throne judgment. The Bible says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw dead, small and great, stand before God. Dear friends, we can choose to reject or accept Christ. We can choose to obey God or disobey God. We can choose to live in sin or live righteous, a righteous life. But no matter what we choose, we will stand at the judgment seat of God, at the judgment of God, and give an account for ourselves. Something that our present generation, present world struggles with, taking accountability, accepting blame, accepting the consequences of their choices. But that will change. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Again, we will stand at the judgment of God and give an account. Ecclesiastes 11, 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in thy sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee unto judgment. Folks, portion of looking and reading this, I was going to go with our passage, but understanding is we don't have to be concerned with some of these things as believers, but it's good for us to be reminded and be relieved to know that, hey, one day all this is going to end. All the chaos, all that's going on, all that's going running amok will end, and every tongue, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Daniel Webster was once asked, what is the greatest thought that can occupy a man's mind? Now, when I know the rest of it, but I'm going to pause there for a moment. What is the greatest thought that can occupy a man's mind? If you don't know this quote, think about that for a moment. What is the greatest thought that can occupy a man's mind? Here's what Mr. Webster said. The greatest thought that can occupy a man's mind is his accountability to God. You know, we need to think more often about our accountability to God. We need to think more often. So often we say, you know, and I've said it 100 times, is that we need to make sure we have accountability partners. But we also need to remember that, hey, we just account to God. There's nothing wrong, gentlemen, looking up in the morning, washing our face and looking in the mirror before we shave. You know, hey, okay, rascal, what have you been up to today? What are you going to be up to today? The easiest way to do that is reflected with the Word of God. Being in the Word, allowing it to be that mirror, to be that reflection, talking to God. We know better than anyone our strengths and our failures. We know where we have failed. We know where we struggle. And we need to remind ourselves of not just having an accountability partner, having a friend that we can talk to, but sitting down and talking to the Lord about our struggles and giving account for those things which we have done. Ecclesiastes there, again, back in Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, listen to some of Solomon's thoughts in reference to this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Boy, what a humbling thought when we begin to realize that one day, in spite of what we have accomplished or attained in life, we will all bow our knee before God, before the Lord Jesus, and recognize him as Lord. Now, we may feel in control now and able to manipulate certain situations here in life and maybe manipulate those to our own advantage, but not then. We will humbly acknowledge that everything he has said, everything he has ever said, everything he has done, everything he has ever asked us is right, and depending on our response now, today, and going forward, we will kneel with a heart of rejoicing or a heart of regret. Folks, I know we can all look back and wish we'd have done things differently. We all do. And there's some very simple things I'll pick on myself. I look back and I regret some things because last year at this time, around October, I weighed about 30 pounds less than I do today. I regret that I quit doing some things. I regret that I started back some old habits of eating. I regret there's some things I just didn't do the best thing and push away as opposed to continue to do those curls with my mouth wide open. But the bottom line is there's some other things in my life that I will reflect and we look back on that we regret. We wish we'd have done things different, spiritually speaking. We wish we'd have been more faithful. We wish we'd have been more active. And the bottom line is we can let those things keep us down, or we can do our best to say, Lord, going forward, I'm going to try to get back where I was, where I need to be, and serve in the capacity of how I am able and equipped to serve. An exalted name, a name exalted, the grounds for exaltation, the grandeur of exaltation. Every knee will bow one day. And then number three, the gravity of exaltation. Notice with me in verse number 11, the gravity of exaltation. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, as kids, now we don't know when the Lord's coming back. We have no way of knowing. But I think we should might as well practice and get in the habit of exhorting and honoring and get excited about the things of God again, and that every tongue should confess. As we look back at verse number 10, we talked about that every knee should bow of things in heaven, things under the earth, but it's going to go beyond that. Not only are they going to bow, but they are going to confess. But we know not when the Lord is going to return. I remember it's like me growing up. Anybody ever have another name other than hide and go seek for that game? Everybody knows what hide and go seek is, right? Anybody ever have another name growing up? Well, I learned it as hoopy hide. When I was growing up and living in Florida, going back to East Tennessee to my grandmother's house, especially my mom's side of the family, it was known as hoopy hide. So I learned how to play hoopy hide before I ever learned how to play hide and go seek. And I realized later that we're the same game. But I can remember out there with the fireflies going there in East Tennessee back in the country. I mean, so far back in the country, they had the pipe sunshine back there. I mean, those roads, if you straighten them out, is about 100 miles from the interstate. But they were just so crooked. And we were back there, we played, we all learned to count to 50 with one eye open. And we learned to count to 50 real quick, even as little guys. The front porch was home base. And if somebody would count, we'd all take off running and hiding and counted to that 50, again with that one eye open. And we always remember that aspect of, ready or not, here I come. You know, ready or not, the Lord is coming back. And I don't know how high he's going to count. We know it's not to 50. And we don't know when he's going to stop counting. We don't know when that trumpet's going to sound, that audible of ready or not, here I come. But it is going to sound one day. And he is going to return. And there's days that I want it to be right now. And there's other days I wouldn't mind another day with my wife, another day with family, another day trying to reach some lost loved ones that do not know the Lord. But he is coming back. And I don't believe God is counting. And but if he is, only he knows when he's going to stop counting. And when he says, here I come, ready or not, the question is, are you prepared to meet God if your appointment was today? And I think we've gotten out of the aspect sometimes, is ready or not. We may be ready spiritually. We may be ready because we know our Heavenly Father. But are we ready in the sense of some things? Come on, let's be honest with me. Is there not some things you'd like to see done before the Lord returns? Are we busy about doing those things and seeing those things come to pass? Having loved ones and others that we want to share or share the gospel with more and more time. And my Uncle Dan is on our prayer list. I hope one day that I can heal from him and we can mark it off. I know I prayed for my Uncle Graham for many years before he met him and talked with him. And he told me that he had trusted Christ. I have talked to my Uncle Dan and I've shared with you before with tears in his eyes saying, not today, not today. But it's not going to keep me that every opportunity I have to talk to him or ask someone to visit him. Or if he's in town, again, remind my dad, which is his brother, about if he'd come to church with him. Dear friends, we not only should we not give up, we need to keep in mind and have that gravity of understanding that he is returning soon, though we don't know when. And if you turn on the TV, you watch the news, you see what's going on in our world today, there's no doubt. I don't know about you, some of y'all are a little bit older than I am, but I think she's waxing worse and worse, day by day, so it could come at any time. Notice the first part of verse number 11, a universal examination. And that every tongue. Have you ever heard someone say, there are exceptions to everything? Not to this. Most people, when it comes to something unpleasant, they think that they will be the exception to the rule. Or, you know, that doesn't include me. But yes, one day, not only will every knee bow, but every tongue will confess. And when it comes to God's judgment, there are those that think they will somehow slip by undetected, or because God is such a loving God, he will kind of give them the wink and the nod and excuse them. No, God is so loving, and that's why he gave his son. There's no wink and no nod. He gave his son that we might have eternal life. But yet there are those that still think they're the exception, but there's that universal examination. We all must approach the Father on our own individually. Ezekiel chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse 3 and 4. Here we see the words of Ezekiel eliminate these possibilities of that escape because of the wink and the nod, or some people think they're the exception. Ezekiel 7 and verse 3. Now is the end come upon thee, and I will send mine anger upon thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense upon thee all thine abominations. And mine eye shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense thy ways upon thee, and thine abominations shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Folks, I don't know about you. I am glad. You may, like me, have used the phrase, you know, I don't know, but I guess we'll find out when we get to heaven. Well, that's really incorrect, because it's all going to be about him not answering our questions or who is right and who is wrong. And I'm glad, because I would surely like to go up to someone and say, I told you so in the flesh. But that's not going to happen. That's not going to be that. It's going to be all about him. No more worries, no more pain, no more difficulties. You know, I think one of the biggest heartaches in the flesh, Brother Wayne, I don't think there's going to be more college football. It's going to be all about him and him only. Abraham Lincoln once stated, "My great concern is not whether God is on our side. My great concern is to be on God's side." Are we on his side? We don't need a concern about whether God be with us or God be on our side. The bottom line is, are we with him? I still have that problem. And it's an ongoing thing, whether it be with my kids or with my grandkids. It's always that aspect. Hey, you're responsible for yourself. It's not you, it's him. And are we with him? And are we doing the right thing? Today, people use the name of Jesus as a curse word. They laugh and mock his name just as those who nailed him to the cross did. Yet he continues to love, and he longs to save those who revile against him. But one day, all men will stand before him, will stand before the same Jesus. The Bible tells us in John 5:22, a short passage, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." What gives Jesus the right to judge? Well, it's found in our Bibles. Look at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 31. "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he raised him from the dead." See, his resurrection over sin in the grave gives him the position to judge. Every day that I have opportunity to spend time with our daughter and our granddaughters here, I enjoy it very much. And there's days that I look at that aspect and look excited about them growing older and seeing probably the only 3 set of grandchildren that we may have an opportunity, if the Lord tarries, to see them grow up through the years and through adulthood if the Lord doesn't return. But there's some days that I'm not sure that I want them to have to live that long. There are some days I'm concerned about this world that we live in as it waxes worse and worse. I mean, I find it difficult, and I get frustrated as an adult who is somewhat seasoned in the Word and with a relationship with the Lord and in a good, encouraging church that we support and encourage and pray for one another. And I want the same thing for them, but I would never thought we'd be where we're at today. Thinking back in my younger years, my teen years, my early military years, I never would have thought of the response and a lack of authority and respect we'd have in our country today. If it's only going to get worse, I'd hate to see my children or my grandchildren continue to live in a country, in a nation, in a place that have to face some of these things. But yet, here we are. Now, college students come up with all kinds of ways to entertain themselves, and hopefully this kind of goes along this way as we judge and we make decisions. But the fun is usually innocent until all the memories that go along with that stage of life. I believe it was my junior year in college, somebody decided to toilet paper the dean of students' home. The bad news, that group of people didn't realize that the dean of students wasn't home. It was just his wife. So the yard got toilet papered. And somebody had the bright idea, hey, man, that looks great. What do we do now? And someone says, go ring the doorbell and run. So, doorbell was rang and people took off running. That was on the weekend. Come Monday morning, all the girls in the girls' dorm were called in the carpet by the dean of students, the dean of women, and the dean of students' wife, the Brown family, because she was sure, she was absolutely sure, even though it was pitch dark outside, she had judged, she had made her decision. It was the girls in the dorm that did it, and they were called to the carpet, every single young lady that lived in a girls' dorm. And they were accused and they were talked to, and everyone denied it. See, the thing is, though they were judged and judged wrongly, nobody lied. They told the truth. Chapel time came around later that day, and once again, not only did the dean of students say something, the president of the college said something. And once again, nobody wanted to stand up in the girls' dorm, who they were addressing, even made them sit in one section all together during the chapel service. I got under such great conviction because I was one of the four that did it. After the chapel service, I went straight to the dean of students' office, Mr. Brown, and I said, "Mr. Brown, do you have a few minutes?" He said, "Sure, Brother Cook, what can I do for you?" I said, "Do you mind if I close the door?" Now, I want you to keep in mind that Michelle was about 8.5, 9 months pregnant. The other couple that was with us, his wife was also 8.5, 9 months pregnant. And you should have seen those girls holding their bellies running across that lawn after we rang the bell. But I told the dean of students, "I've got a confession to make." He said, "What?" "The girls of the dorm did not do it. Brother Cook, my wife was at home. She looked out the window. She saw, she's sure it's some of the girls from our school." I said, "It was. But it was not anyone living in the dorm. When she saw them, did she happen to notice that they were running like this, great with child?" Because none of our girls in the dorm are pregnant. And long story short, even through all the judgment, all the accusations, I confess that it wasn't them, that was me and my wife, Daryl and his wife, and there might have been one other couple. And he just busted out laughing. And I think visualizing Michelle and Lisa running across the yard, great with child. And so after laughing for a season, he said, "Brother Cook, I want you to do me a favor." I said, "What's that?" "Tell no one. I will defuse the situation." No doubt he had a love and respect for me and Michelle. I mean, we both had taken his New Testament survey class and other classes, and we had a great relationship. He thought it was humorous, and he was glad that I came forward as soon as I heard, right after chapel. I went to see him. "I will defuse the situation." Needless to say, the administration was not happy. And again, they were determined to find the culprits, and I think Brother Brown smoothed it over. But there were all kinds of rumors floating around, and most of the girls' dorm was attached to those rumors. Even to this day, I think they're still talking about who did it, why they did it. I said all that to say this. We need to be careful not to be too quick to judge, because there's only one judge, and he will do the judging one day. We all do things that we regret. I don't say that I regret this. I had a good time doing it. I regret that our girls in the dorm got raked over the coals for something they didn't do. But again, as I mentioned, finally ridden with guilt, I made the decision to talk to them, and the dean said he would defuse the situation and he would make sure it was taken care of. But dear friends, such will not be the case at the judgment of God. No one will escape. No one will deceive. No one will bribe. This judgment will be thorough, just, and right. All of these excuses, the alibis, the blame, the blame shifting and the rationalization of sin will be sifted, and the truth will be made known. The Bible tells in the book of Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 2, "But who may abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire." And dear friends, just you and God, face to face, eyeball to eyeball. So the question is, are you ready? And being ready and knowing the Lord, are we doing all we can to assist others in being ready? The great orator, James Weldon Johnson, penned the following words, which he entitled, "The Judgment Day." I got enough time to read through this, "The Judgment Day." Before I read this, go ahead and have fun with Michelle. I don't care if you tell her that I blabbed on us toilet paper in a dormitory. That's not the only thing that I was involved in my college days that were somewhat questionable that I had to get grace to be forgiven. But the bottom line is, though some of those things we may get by with, this is something the world is not going to get by with. And we, at times, I think we need to not only take it serious for ourselves and be grateful for what we have and the relationship we have with the Lord, but with that judgment coming, are we still serving, praying, and trying to make a difference in the life of others? The Judgment Day by James Weldon Johnson. In that great day, people, in that great day, gods are going to rain down fire. Gods are going to sit in the middle of the air to judge the quick and the dead. Early in one of these mornings, gods are going to call Gabriel. That's that tall, bright angel Gabriel. And gods are going to say to him, Gabriel, blow your trumpets, blow your silver trumpet, and wake the living nations. And Gabriel's going to ask him, Lord, how loud must I blow it? And gods are going to tell him, Gabriel, blow it calm and easy. Then putting one foot on the mountaintop and the other in the middle of the sea, Gabriel's going to stand and blow his horn and wake the living nations. Oh, sinner, where will you stand in that great day when gods are going to rain down fire? Oh, young gambling man, where will you stand? Oh, whoremongering man, where will you stand? Liars and backsliders, where will you stand in that great day when gods are going to rain down fire? And God will divide the sheep from the goats, the one on the right and the other on the left. And to them on the right, gods are going to say, enter into my kingdom. And those who had come through great tribulations and washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, they will enter in clothed in spotless white. And to them on that left, gods are going to say, depart from me in the everlasting darkness, down into the bottomless pit. And the wicked, like lumps of lead, will start to fly. Headlong for 7 days and nights shall they'll fall. Plumb into the big, black, red-hot mouth of hell. Too late, sinner, too late. Goodbye, sinner, goodbye. In hell, sinner, in hell, beyond the reach of the love of God. And I hear a voice crying, crying, time shall be no more, time shall be no more, time shall be no more. And the sun will go out like a candle in the wind. The moon will turn to dripping blood. The stars will fall like cinders. And the sea will burn like tar. And the earth shall melt away and be dissolved. And the sky will roll up like a scroll. With a wave of his hand, God will blot out time. And start the wheel of eternity. Sinner, oh sinner, where will you stand in that great day when God's going to rain down fire? Dear friends, one day, could be tomorrow. One day, maybe next month, and maybe down the road. I am so glad that I know, that I know, that I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. But yet, I have friends, and I have family, and I have neighbors that do not know. Let's do all that we can to challenge them, encourage them, love them, and that they may see Christ in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, the blessing of joy, the blessing of service, the blessing of fellowship. Father, help us to long, Lord, to make a difference in the life of others. Now, Father, bless us with your love as we dismiss in a time of fellowship. Bless our choir as they prepare to minister and to rehearse and practice and sing for us this morning. And Lord, may when everything is said and done today, may it be said by the people of Harvest, the people of visiting here, that our Lord Jesus was magnified, glorified, and lifted up. We ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, Lord bless your choir. It's 9:32.